But it's God's Word, and we put it up in our hearts. It helps us lay God's Word up in our hearts so we can remember God. Outstanding. I appreciate Kelly finding that for us and teaching us. Now, you got your Bibles. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. One of the things that God repeats, one of the things that God makes sure that Moses repeats, is the need to make that we teach our children. Now, do you remember the emphasis? I gave you that one. You got to get the rest of it. He wants us to teach our children so they can do what? So they can teach their children. This is not about just telling your children what they're supposed to do. This is not about just telling your children what they're supposed to know. It's teaching them those things in a way that they can teach somebody else one day. So that tells you a little bit of different approach, right? It's not just handing somebody a Bible. It's not just reading them the Bible. It's not just teaching them things from the Bible. It's teaching them in a way that they know what's in the Word of God and are able to not only live it in their life, but teach it to somebody else so they can teach it to somebody else so they can teach it to somebody else. All right? Now, you're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 4. Verse 4. We're going to lay these words up in our heart. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Now look at verses 4 and 5. Now, some of you have been Bible students for a while. Some of you have gone to church and heard these kind of things taught before. So let me ask you, I'll let you tell me, why do you think I want us to lay these words, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength"? Why do you think I think it would be a good idea for us to lay those words up in our heart? Huh? It is so simple. It's because Jesus had these words in His heart. He quotes these words when He's teaching His disciples. And again, if Jesus thought it was worth remembering, wouldn't it make sense that it would be worth remembering for us? Right? So let's do this. Let's learn these together, okay? And there is a song that kind of goes with this, but Kelly doesn't want to sing it. Nah, we don't know it. I mean, I'm not for sure we're ready to sing it yet. And we got one new one already, so leave him alone. All right, but "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." Say it. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." One more time. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, folks, this is real simple stuff. Don't get weird with it. But if there is only one God, if the Lord our God is one and there is only one God, anything that distracts us from Him is not of God. You can say it's of Satan, or you can say it is of the world. Any God, any distraction that takes us away from following God becomes an idol. And there are to be no other gods. And you're not to bow down to idols. Does that make sense? All right, one more time. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." One more time. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." You do it.
"The Lord our God, the Lord is one."
Now, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." Say it. One more time. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." Now, add the next phrase. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. One more time. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." Now the last one, add it. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Together. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." One more time. "Love the Lord your God with all your
heart,
with all your
soul,
with all your
strength."
Now, all of it together. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Just the fellas. Just the fellas. "The Lord our God is one." "Love the Lord your God
with all your heart, with all your
All right, just the ladies. The Lord our God. Everybody together, and let's look, and folks, repeat this often enough that it stays in our hearts. The Lord our God is one. Let's back up. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And may God bless the reading of His Word and the remembering of His Word. Now, verse 6. These commands that I give you today, which would include that command there to the love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and strength, you are to, what does it say? Look at verse 6. I give you today are to be upon your heart. Mark this one first. This one's first. We want to jump to the place where it says, tell those kids what they're supposed to do. No, it's not about telling those kids what to do. We want to get, make sure everybody else knows what they're supposed to know. And sometimes we don't impress things on our own in heart. So let's start there. Where does God want these words? On our hearts first. Now let's start there. What's it going to take for that to happen? And be real simple. What is it going to take for that to happen? Yes. And y'all are even smarter than that first bunch. That first bunch was real slow this morning. But let me make it even simpler. First thing you got to do is you got to read them. Because you can't know them unless you read them. Read these words. But not just read them. Remember them. So you can then obey them. So then you can repeat them, teach them to your children. So what's first? If I want these words in my heart, I'm going to read. If I want these in my heart, I'm going to keep reading until it sticks in my heart. Now, I'll tell you real quick. There are people in this room, and especially the children, I mean, you know, a fifth or sixth grade kid, man, they can read anything and it just sticks. And I hate them. I used to be that. I can remember when I could read something and I could just remember it. Those days are long gone now. But if you have a child in your life who has that kind of memory, oh, be sure to make sure they read God's Word, they hear God's Word, so they can remember God's Word. Exercise that as long as they can. All right? But now I'm teaching a ladies' Bible class 100 years ago. Won't tell you where, won't tell you who. But I'm teaching and I'm talking to these older ladies. They were older than I am now. They were old ladies. And they're all dead now, so I can say old ladies. All right. I was teaching them a class, and I was talking about remembering God's Word. We need to lay God's Word up in our heart. We need to remember it. We need to memorize. And one lady got a little bit sassy. Well, that whole class was sassy. But one little lady got it sassy, and she looked at me, and she said, I can't remember. I'm 80 years old or something like that. You know, I'm 80 years old, and I can't remember. I'm not going to memorize anything. I said, you can't memorize anything? She said, no. Now, I happened to know the lady, and I loved her. I mean, spent time with her and her family. So I said, how many cups of sugar do you put in your apple pie? Oh, if it's sour apples, I put 3. If it's sweet apples, I put 2.5. I said, how'd you know that? If you can't remember anything, how'd you remember that? And then she said, well, that's just because I've done it a bunch. She made my point. I hear us, and I love you. Know I love you, but I hear us say, "Well, I just can't remember stuff." You know why you can't remember stuff? Because you're not paying the price to remember it. Because you remember everything else. I bet you remember what channel your show's on. I bet you remember the words of your favorite songs. I bet you remember. There's things we remember. God said, I want you to lay these words up in your heart. Settled. So are you? Are you doing it? Are you taking God's word and trying to remember it? Now, I know people who have difficulty doing that. And one of the good things that God did for me, and it came from my parents and they helped me develop it, is I can memorize things, and it's pretty simple. And I can help you memorize things. Serious. So if you want to memorize something, come talk to me. Let me show you what I do. And if you'll practice and just do what I show you. I mean, I didn't write it. Somebody taught me. I can show you how to memorize things. And I encourage you to do that. Why would I encourage you to do that? Because the Lord... Say it. And He commanded us to do it. He told us to do it. So God told His people, I want you to remember my words. So it's a good idea for us to put those words up in our heart. Now look at the next one. That's number one. It starts first with you. But if number two is going to happen, it better be in your heart. It better be in your life. Because it's not, and I need to make this before I say anything else, it's not just about memorizing Scripture. Have you ever known anybody that could quote Scripture but they still acted like a jerk? And don't you look at me. Have you ever looked at somebody that could memorize Scripture but they didn't live it? Is God talking about saying, I've read the whole Bible? I hear it in jail all the time. Kids will tell me, say, I've read the whole Bible. Well, apparently nothing stuck, so read it again, right? It's not about reading it. It's not about remembering it. It's about reading it, remembering it, so you can repeat it. So you can put it in your life. So you can respond to it. Does that make sense? So are you doing that? I know we memorize all kinds of things. Are we doing that? Because if we're going to do the next thing, we've got to make sure we're doing it. Look at the next statement. What does he say do? Verse 7, impress them on your children. Now I want you to underline that word impress. Because what does the word impress mean? Give me another word. Impress. Put in. Impress. Imprint. Impress. Emphasize. Impress. Make an impact. Impress. Make it stick. Yeah, it's a good way to say it. Impress. Stamp. Oh, good. I love, what word did you use, Raymond? Imprint. I love the idea of that imprint. What does it take for something to leave an impression? To leave an imprint? It takes, Aaron said it, it takes pressure. It takes pressure. You've got to keep it up. So, if you're to impress these things on your children, if you're to impress these things on your children, what's it going to take? It's going to take you remembering them so you can repeat them. What's it going to take?
Deliberate action.
Deliberate action. What kind of action?
Living it.
What else?
Consistency.
Consistency. What else? I'm sorry, determination, excellent. What's it going to take? Repetition. And y'all, that's so good. Y'all are so much smarter than that first bunch. But I'm telling you. But nobody's mentioned the simplest one. Say it.
Talk about it.
One more time.
Talk about it.
You got to talk about it, folks. In fact, that's how God said to do it. Look at the next phrase. Look at the next phrase. If you want to impress things on your kids, if you want to imprint things on your kids, if you want to make things stick with your kids, what do you got to do? There's got to be dedication. That's right. There's got to be modeling. You've got to show them. That you've got to repeat things. Yes, you've got to live it. You've got to teach it. But he says, what does he say? Talk. Now circle the phrase talk, that word talk, circle it. You got to talk about these things. Now, time out a second. Several years ago, when we were teaching the ladies' Bible class here, several of our ladies that were coming were teachers, and we were going over this, and they said, well, in a new teacher, in teacher training, what they do is they teach you this phrase. And I wrote it in the margin of my Bible so I wouldn't forget. I do, we do, you do. See, that makes sense? I do it, I show you what to do and how to do it, then we do it together, and then you do it. Now, is it always as simple as three steps? No, because sometimes you got to model it, you got to show it over and over and over again, and then you got to do it with them several more times, and then, well, isn't that what God's saying here? He said, I want you to impress these things on your kids. I want you to impress these things on your kids. How do you do that? Talk about them. Talk about them. Now look at the places. Talk about what? Talk about, I know what. Talk about when. I talk about these things. I talk about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I talk about the commands. I talk about them when? What does it say? When you sit in your home. Number two, I talk about them when? When I walk in the way. Three, I talk about them when I lie down. Four, when I get up. Now hang on. God just gave Moses the way to do that. The way to imprint these things on your kids, the way to impress them on your kids, is you talk about them. Now what's involved in the word talk? Communication. What's involved in the word communication? In fact, it's bound up in the definition. Our teacher just taught us what she said. Talking is not you giving a lecture. I learned it. It's funny. My parents were very good at this, very good at this. But the funniest thing I ever heard and the best example I ever to imprint this thing on my head was I was talking to a dad and we were at a family conference and I was teaching this family conference about how you deal with teenagers and stuff, and he was telling this story about, well, man, I told my kid and I told him and we weren't going to have this, and said he was laying down the law. He was kind of acting like he was stern and firm and he had it settled and his kids were going to be good kids. And he finished, he said, I finished telling that boy, and I said, well, what did he say? And he said, I looked at him and I said, well, what do you got to say for yourself, boy? And the boy looked at him and said, Dad, your breath is horrible. He didn't hear a word. I'm afraid that's what we do. We talk at our kids instead of talk with them. I've told you once, I've told you. Now, back in my day, it was 100 times. Then when I was raising my kids, it was, I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Then I got grandkids, and it's 1,000,000 times. My grandson the other day said, maybe it ought to be gigabyte. I smacked him right there. You know? I don't know what a gig of anything is. Now, talk about them. That means to have conversations. Now, I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to repeat this probably till you're irritated with it. When's the best time to start? Say it right now. And if you've got little ones, even if they can't talk back, talk to them. Read God's Word to them. Make sure they hear those words and get used to hearing words from God. It won't be as foreign to them later. And if you've got little ones, there's incredible games and songs and things you can teach them. Incredible ways to teach them. And it's going to be harder if you've got teenagers. It's going to be especially harder if you've got teenagers that have watched you live your life a mess. And you're trying to turn them back toward the Lord in spite of the life you introduced them to. You understand? And I'm not being mean. But if they grew up and they watched you making horrible decisions, it will be hard for them to just snap out of it and say, oh, okay, now mom and dad are good, so I'm just going to fight. No, it'll still be a challenge. But we still have the same responsibility to impress on them these things. We talk about them when we sit at home. Now, let's be honest. Let's talk about it. What's taking place usually when we're sitting at home? Cell phones, TV, video games, internet, Sesame Street. Better Sesame Street than Barney. Right? Now, do you see this? In our lives, we have these things in common. We have these things in common. Technology has become our primary source of teaching. It's also become our primary source of babysitting. Yeah, sometimes it's babysitting ourselves. We don't want to think. Now, you're not hearing me say anything mean against technology. You're not saying me hearing me say, though there's plenty of room to hear. It's an incredible tool. But if we have thought that the fact that technology is available, therefore it should have full reign in our homes, we better be careful. Because we got kids sitting for hours in front of computers with no filter from mom and dad about what they're seeing or hearing. Now, you can put all the filters you want on a computer, but you still can't filter what they're seeing and hearing. Does that make sense? That cell phone's the same way. The TV's the same way. I'm not picking on technology. What's our responsibility? To talk of these things while they sit at home. Now, do you want to use technology to do that? I'm all for that. You want to text your kids verses from the Word of God? I'm all for that. I do that sometimes. I dig that kind of thing. But the point is, are we doing it? Or are we letting the world and technology and things babysit our kids? Boy, it's especially true when they get to be teenagers. Well, I see it with our little kids. I was in a restaurant the other day. A couple came in with their 5-year-old, and they brought a little video player with them so she could watch a video while they were sitting in a restaurant. And I thought, what's the attention span of that kid going to be growing up? Now, I'm not going to go into all those things except to say, if my responsibility is to talk of these things while we sit at home, what have I got to do at some point, y'all? What have I got to do at some point? I'm going to have to stop anything that's interrupting the talk. Now, I'll be real honest. When I first started preaching back in the day when I was a preacher, there was a lot of emphasis about having family, what they call devos. Meant devotional times for family. And what happened was, guys got all fired up about family devos. That's what that dad was telling me. Well, family devo. And what he'd do is he'd come in and had nothing to do with the kids, had nothing to say to them at all until they were having fun, playing a game, reading a book, watching TV, playing with their friends. And he would shut the TV off, turn the music off. All right, sit down now. We're going to have a family devo. And you know what the family devo... You know what it was made of? Is the dad telling them what he thought about stuff. Guess how they responded? That doesn't impress your kids with anything except you don't know them. To talk of them when they sit in the home, and I don't know all the ways to do that. I've done a little bit of it, and I'd be glad to help if you lack some ideas. But to talk of those things when you sit at home means you have a responsibility while you're sitting there. You got some things to teach. I learned it from my dad. He had to teach me and kind of had to teach me the hard way. I'm sitting out at our home where I grew up. I've got my wife and my kids there. And I holler at one of my kids. I'm sitting in the recliner. Holler at one of the kids. They've been out playing. I holler at one of them and said, "Hey, go get me something to drink." My dad looked at me and said, "What's wrong with your legs?" So I'm going to ask you, daddies, what's wrong with your legs? At what point did you ever decide that God thought your children were supposed to be your carriers, your servants? In fact, be real honest, you do that with your kids, they'll grow up to be that kind of daddy. They'll grow up to be that kind of mama. Does that make sense? We got to learn to talk about these things while we sit in the house and find those moments where we can teach them. That doesn't mean turn off all the TV. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying turn off all the technology. But honest, can you teach the Word of God to them as they need to hear the Word of God if their minds are distracted by about a jillion other things? That's your call. God's call was, let's make sure we talk about those things while they sit in the home. All right? Second thing, he said talk about them where? What? On the road. When you walk on the way, in the way, or walk on the road? Guess what? When's the last time you saw any of us walk? We've had people say, "Hey, is there somebody could come pick me up at the door and take me to my car?" We'll have a little van to carry us, you know. And if you have to park way out there, you know, we'll buy you gas to get there. Nah. My kids, I can remember. I grew up on a farm and to walk to see my grandparents, and it was worth the walk. It was a quarter mile, half mile walk. And we did it all the time. And Grandma made it worth our time, right? But I got kids, they were growing up. We moved to town. Then I would say something. I said, "Hey, you know, go get the mail." And they'd ask me, say, "Can I drive?" You know where the mailbox is? At the end of the driveway. They don't walk. Okay, I won't fuss with you about that. But Mom and Dad, what would happen if you decided to say, even to those big kids, "You know what? We're going to go for a walk." And they'll go. I promise you they'll go. If they won't, you come talk to me. I can guarantee you I can get you to get them to walk. I can teach you. You're the parent. You pay the bills. You know where the plugs are. I'm telling you, you can control that. But go for a walk. Wouldn't be bad exercise for us, would it? And then talk of those things. Leave the phone at home. Leave the little video thing at home. And just walk.
Well, I guess I should text you about it later. I'm going to go ahead and just tell you. But I have a seat on my bike in front of me. And we go for rides. And I try to talk to her. I'm like, "God made those trees." And she's like, "Wee!" You know? Uh-huh. And I don't feel like I'm doing a very good job.
That is, hug your neck. That is amazing. Because you know what you're learning?
How to ride a bike with a kid.
Yeah. That's a good thing. But you know what else you're learning? And you've done this since way before she was born. You started learning to put God in your words. I know people, and I love you, but I know people sitting in here that have a hard time bringing up God. They feel uncomfortable talking about God. They feel uncomfortable talking about Jesus to their family. We've talked about it. I'm not going to look at you and embarrass you, but we've talked about that. You're learning how to do that. And there are tons of things. Trees and flowers and birds and dogs and all those kind of fun things. But how old is she?
She'll be here next time.
So she hasn't started talking back yet. So you better get it in now. Because she gets Kylie's age, what's she going to do? She's going to take over, right? But so you want to impress those things on her now. And guys, I'm telling you, if it's you got teenagers, you can still do it. I guarantee you can still do it.
You may think this is not the thing and you don't, but they are.
Yeah.
If Alex like being phased out, and when we're at, and these are teenagers, so you know, and faith, oh my God. And they'll tell me what we've studied here, like, God says you'll be okay, you're going to take, that's what Rex tells us, so, you know, but you may look like you're not, but believe me, in a year or two, you'll realize that.
You just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Well, you just keep, and the thing is you don't teach, I heard somebody say it earlier, well, teach them principles. Teach them words from God. Teach them the truths that you know about God, but teach them words from God. Sitting at home, and I'm trying not to do this, but sitting at home, I'm reading my Bible. My son David is probably, I don't know, he's 3-4 years old at the time. He's already learned at that point, he's already learned the alphabet, and the first word I wanted him to learn, the first word I wanted him to learn to read was the word God. So I opened my Bible to John 3:16, because that was the first verse I wanted him to learn to read. I was going to teach him to read using John 3:16. So when he's little bitty, he learned the alphabet, so I got him to look at John 3:16, and I said, say G, and he said G. Say O, and I said O. Say D. What does that spell? It spells God. And I made him repeat God till he could see God on every page. God. Well, the first verse I wanted him to learn to memorize was John 3:16. And we'd already learned that. And so I taught him the same way kind of I've taught some of you to memorize things. He'd do it in sections. For God. And he'd always rock back and forth. So loved the world that he gave his only son. We didn't do his only begotten son. Because begotten was too hard. And I tried that. I thought, well, I need to teach him the whole thing. And I taught it to his sister. And she said only forgotten son. So we dropped the... I dropped that with the grandkids, all right? I'm sitting in my chair reading the Bible. Thought it was in... maybe there's a lesson there. I was reading my Bible. The TV was off. I was reading my Bible. He came bringing me his little bitty Bible, one of those little Gideon Bibles that they give you. Somebody had given him one. And he had it, and he said, Dad, show me John 3:16. So I turned in his Bible to John 3:16. And he laid down on the floor right there by my chair. And I heard him, and he was acting like he was reading. He couldn't read a lick. He could read the word God. That was the only word he could read in his life. And he was, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. John 3:16. And I'm just listening to him. And then he goes, God. Dad, this whole book's John 3:16. I didn't disagree with him. Because does the Bible tell us that God loves us? Guys, talk about these things at home. Do not let your kids bluff you out of this opportunity. Do not let your kids let their brains be absorbed by all kinds of things. Make sure you impress God's Word on them when you sit at home. And when you walk in the way, if you're not going to go for a walk, take them for a drive. You've done it. You get in the car. Now, Mama, Daddy, honest, you can't teach them God's Word if you're yelling at the driver of the other car. You cannot teach them to be respectful and to control their temper if you're screaming and pointing your finger at somebody. It's impossible. You cannot teach them to respect God's law if you've got your pedal to the metal and weaving in and out of traffic. You cannot, sorry Aaron, you cannot do that. Now, honest with little ones, it's easy. There's all kinds of things to see. There's all kinds of colors. There's all kinds of animals. There's all kinds of things that you can talk about creation. Incredible good stuff. But you know what we do? When a kid becomes a teenager and starts getting kind of huffy, we act like they've got the right to be huffy. I would love to talk to you, parent. No. No. You're still the parent. You're still the parent. You still got the power. Serious, you got the power. You got the money. You got the keys to the car. You know where the breaker switch is to their bedroom that'll shut off every bit of power and put them back in the cave age, you know? You can do that. You've got that power. You're the teacher. You're the one that's responsible to God to teach them these things. So when you're driving down the way, they do not have to have earphones. They do not have to have headphones on. They do not. They do not have to be watching a video. They can talk. And you can say, we're going to talk. And you may not say much back, but you're going to listen. And you talk. You talk about these things. Impress them on your kids. But now you got to make sure you've got them impressed on you, right? And then it says when you lie down, when you go to bed, I got to tell you, my mom and dad were good at this, but I it took me a while to catch on. I would send my kids to bed. And some of you do that too. No. No. Don't send your kids to bed. Because you know what happens after you send your kids to bed? What do? On it. And somebody in the first meeting just outright said it. You know what parents do when you send the kids to bed? Pop popcorn. I'm telling you, I don't know why. You go to bed and you smell popcorn in the house. Mom's watching TV, mom and dad watching TV, dad's watching a movie, and you hear them laughing. You hear them doing things. That's where the action is. So what does a little kid want? They want to be where the action is. But I had one who, I'm serious, I could not get him to bed. He was like a boomerang kid. I could grab him, stick him in bed, say, you stay in bed. And before I could get back to my recliner, my popcorn, my movie, he'd be there. So what are you going to do? Well, I'll make him stay in there. Oh, no. Do what God said. Back in those days, you went to bed with your kids anyway because it was too dark to do anything else. Go lay down with your kid. Try it. Just try it. If you're having trouble, even with the big old kids, laying. Now, they're going to fuss. They're going, oh, won't you leave me alone? Because I pay the bills and you're going to listen. You are the parent. Lay down there and start talking. Just lay down. Start talking. Ask them questions. Get them to talk. Get them, don't send them, take them. Now, I had to be careful. As I got older, guess what would happen? I'd go to meditating. And they'd think, oh, man, he's asleep, let's party. And I'd get in trouble for that. But I did it with the older they got, I'd go lay down in their bed and we'd talk about the day. Are you too busy to do that? To not do the most important thing that you've got to do? I know there's dishes to be done. I know there's bills to pay. But I know 5 to 10 minutes out of your day to lay there and talk to your children is not too much a price to pay to impress these things on them. Last thing. And then when you rise up, I guess if there was any one particular time that would concern me the most about our children is how we wake them up. How we wake them up. My mother was a genius at it. My mother would come in and she'd kiss us on the cheek. Now, we wasn't about to let, we were teenagers, we were football players, we was tough, we run our head through that wall, we ain't don't need no women. And she'd think we were asleep, and I was awake. And I knew she was going to kiss me right there. It was easy getting up. Not easy to get up. It was easy getting up. She made it easy. I talk with the guys at jail all the time. Staff in jail, they love to come in early in the morning. They get there. Their shift starts at 6, so they get there about 5:30. They have them a cup of coffee. They're already irritated because their wife hollered at them or their husband didn't pay the bills. And so they walk back in where those kids are sleeping. These are teenagers, by the way, sleeping. And then somebody, wake up in there, wake up in there. Now, hold it. Take a kid. Forget the kid. Forget the kid with disorders. Forget the kid that's in jail. Tell me, somebody wakes you up how do you feel? But we do it with our kids. You guys get out of bed. Get out of bed because you're late. You're going to be late to school. You got to get out of bed. Come on, get you. I need it ready. And I told you to take care of that last night. And since you didn't take care of that last night, I tell you what, when you get home, I ain't going to. How do they start their day? They start their day off being yelled at. So what if you help them? Now, you know what you're going to have to do? And I listen, I know something about being tired. So I'm not backing off this one. I know something about working hard. I'll match you schedule for schedule. Okay? I'll match you schedule for schedule. I know something about working long hours. I'll match you. Whatever you got, I'll match you. But I also know you can get up earlier than everybody else and get you some time to recover. Get yourself, your mindset, get your head on straight, and then help your kids get started the right way. Would that not be a wonderful time to say, man, you know what I did this morning before I ever woke, before I ever got out of bed? And I try and do it because my mama taught me to do it. I prayed for you. I thank God that God gave you to me. Now, say that before you ever wake them up. They're going to hear it. You don't have to make a big deal of it. They're sleepy. Just start to impress on them the things that God wants them to know. Do your kids know they're wonderful and precious? Do they know that God has a plan for them? Are those things that you're impressing on them? Get them up in the morning easy. When I used to be a preacher, I'd travel to different places to preach, and I'd stay sometimes with families. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen and just was amazed that it happened. Dad get up in the morning, get ready, get up before everybody else. He'd go get his shower and he'd get dressed. But while he's getting dressed, he's hollering at his wife, who happens to be trying to get breakfast ready for the three kids and then get something ready for the church potluck that they were going to have. And the dad's, where's my socks? Where's my shirt? Where? And the mom has to stop doing what she's doing to go find them because he can't find them. All right. And then while she's doing that, she's trying to get the kids ready. She's trying to give them a bath, trying to get them breakfast. And the dad, you know what he's doing? He's sitting in his chair in his recliner reading the Sunday paper because that's what he does every Sunday morning. Mom's still trying to get everything together. And finally, when it's time, he goes out to the car, sits in the car while Mama's trying to get everybody else dressed. She's trying to get her makeup on and those pantyhose, and she's headed out the door. She's carrying all their Bibles, the diaper bag, the lunch, and one leg still out of her pantyhose. And you know what the guy's doing in the car? Honk, honk, honk. Then they all sit down in the car, and he turns around and said, you can't sit down, shut up, we're going to church. Next week we're going to get up early because, man, I ain't going to be late. And he's driving toward church and he's growling at everybody on the road. Pulls in the parking lot and one of the elders cuts him off. I knew that guy wasn't qualified to be an elder, you know. And he has to park somewhere. Drag all the kids, and the wife's coming in looking kind of like she's got post-traumatic stress disorder. And then the kids are running to his church. Everybody loves me and they're going to give me sugar. And they're going all haywire. And the dad walks in the door and the deacon meets him at the door and says, good morning, brother. How are you? God bless you. And the kids stop, stare. What happened to this guy? The beast that brought us to church is now smiling, saying, God bless. I bet they asked the mama. I bet they asked her later, said, can we move here to church? Could tell you, because man, he acts nicer in here. Foolishness. How do you send your kids off in the morning? Let's impress these things on them. There's one more thing, and I'll hush. We'll have to deal with it culturally for us. But what does he say do? Read the next one. Make sure they see God's Word. Make sure they see God's Word. I've been in rooms with teenage, well, with younger kids and teenage, and they've got all these wild posters of some vile living singer. Oh, that's my favorite singer. That's my. Not in this house, he's no hero. If I'm the daddy. Or in our teenage boys' rooms, we let them put up some pin-up type picture because, well, you know, that's what they're interested in. Well, no wonder they're interested in it. They're supposed to be, but you don't want to dishonor that woman, and you don't want to corrupt that boy's heart. Is there any place in your decorating where God is honored? Or is it home and country? I love decorations and stuff. I would never do it because I got no skill for it. But is God honored anywhere in your decor? God honored anywhere in your kids' rooms? God honored anywhere in your living room, bathroom, bedroom? I knew a mom who, and it was a very creative idea. She took one of these markers, and you can do it with just an old magic marker. You can do it works good with these whiteboard markers. And she would write a verse of God's word on the mirror so that when her kids got up, it wasn't her lecturing them. She just said, I want you to remember, you know. She wrote it, God's word right there. If they erased it, she wrote it again. I don't know all the ways to do it. I think I got some ideas, and I'd love to visit with you about them. But the point is, our responsibility before God is not to just say we went to church. It's not to say we took our kids to Bible class. Our responsibility for God is to teach our kids the Word of God so that they can teach it to their kids. What better place for us to, for them to learn how to teach their children and the, all the different ideas and the methods than from us? I don't want another day that my grandkids visit me that I don't teach them something from God's Word. And since I've started reading this, and I started a few months ago because I knew this was coming, and I wanted to do it. I started making time every time my grandkids visit to sit them down and to say, listen, you're going to just have to listen to Papa. You put the iPad up, put the iPhone up, and the ITV off. You throw it on, stop. I need you to listen to this. Now, I try not to wear them out, and I try not to make it boring. I try to make it fun. And so far, they responded well. But that's my responsibility. That's our responsibility. So God help me, God help all of us. Make sure our kids know His Word and know it so much that they can pass it on to somebody else, right?